Hi, and welcome to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Steve Martorano. Join us each week as we speak to experts in the behavioral health field, fostering diverse and meaningful conversation on substance abuse and mental health. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Recovery Radio. I'm your host, Steve Martorano. You're invited to join us for each episode as we talk with experts in the field of behavioral health. Big title. We'll tell you all about that straight ahead. What we're about is fostering diverse and meaningful conversations on substance abuse and mental health. So that's Recovery Radio. It's sponsored by Retreat Behavioral Health, about which more a little bit later. So it's that time of the year, friends. It's as we approach the holidays and the new year looms, we're all going to get into the time-honored tradition of telling ourselves, next year, we're going to do this. And boy, it's going to be better than last year. Hope does spring eternal. One of the things we concentrate on, I think, as a society at this time of the year, is our physical well-being. Everybody's going to make a New Year's resolution to lose some weight or get into shape. We're going to talk about fitness and working out from a kind of a 101 standpoint. We're going to give you a macro view on what you should be thinking about if it's time for you to get back to the gym and get back to working out, or if you're working out and want to maximize the potential that you're getting out of that. I know that's the boat I find myself in. To that end, we're real fortunate to have with us a fellow who does this for a living. Who else would we ask to do this? Tyler Tritine is our guest in the studio. Tyler is the owner-operator of Vitality Athletics, which is it? Can I call it a gym? Is that okay? Or do you want it to be a
gym?
It's a gym in the Lancaster area in Ephrata. He'll tell us all about Vitality Athletics straight ahead. So, you know, in the broadest possible terms, this program today is going to be about wellness. You know the old expression, a healthy body, healthy mind. That's a cliche, but all cliches are true. So we're going to get a real good up close and personal look at how to get ourselves in shape, both physically and mentally. Tyler, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Steve.
You know, you are, as I told you when we met just here a few minutes ago, that you are, standard issue, if you allow me, in that you showed up in shorts on a particularly cold weekend here in the Delaware Valley. Mostly with you guys. I just did never take the shorts off. It's amazing that you're able to bear it up. I'm freezing to death. Anyway, let's talk about this whole idea of how to get ourselves in shape. I mean, let me begin with something I think to be true, and I want to hear your take on this. The hardest part of going to the gym is going to the gym. Am I right?
Yeah.
You know, when I never have any trouble in the gym. When you're there, it's great. You feel great. You get out, you're done. But boy, when you wake up in the morning or at the end of the day, if you do it at the end of the day, it's like, oh man, I got to go to the gym. How do you tell people to overcome that, to get themselves in the gym?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think for everybody, I always tell our members, the hardest part is just getting to the gym. Once you get there, you'll never regret it, right? So, and I think with our program, it's kind of a group personal training model. So I'm interacting with everybody that comes in, and if they're not in for a week, you know, or more than that, I'm on their case. So I'm texting them, I'm checking in with them, saying, hey, what's going on? Why aren't you in? And there's a lot of accountability with it, with our gym and our community. And when people haven't been there for a little bit, you know, they're definitely going to hear from us.
That's terrific. I mean, is that the benefit? Because lots of people go, "Gee, can you really get the benefits of a group workout, or should I get one on one? What's the benefit? What are the benefits of working in a group as opposed to by yourself?"
Yeah, I think one on one is obviously you can get more individual attention. You can really focus on designing it towards whatever your goals are and make it real specific. And I'd recommend, if anybody's completely new to fitness, I always recommend starting with some one-on-one training, because I think it's just it's nerve-wracking for a lot of people. It's intimidating for a lot of people to jump into, and so many things are new at first that it's good to have a coach one-on-one, at least for the first session or two, to really focus on that. But once you learn the fundamentals, obviously, there's a lot of perks of being in a community too, like a group that pushes you, kind of like a team effort when mm-hmm. you're playing a sport. And then, you know, cost effective wise, obviously personal training is going to be more expensive. And if you have the, you know, the income to do that, great. If you want something a little bit more cost effective, once you go through some personal training, you invest in that, then you can go to a group model, which will be a little bit easier on your mm-hmm. wallet too.
So if somebody comes into Vitality Athletics, do you have what I guess you'd refer to as a kind of an evaluation situation? You got to know what they want. Do people show up with the right ideas? Do people have clearly defined goals, or do they just have this notion that, well, I'm in the gym, that's good?
Yeah, I'd say I'd see kind of both scenarios. I see people that come in with real specific goals. Maybe they're training for a specific sport, competition, that maybe they want to do a Spartan race, a 5K, you know, a half marathon, something like that. Or they come in just because they know their family history. They see maybe people around them, friends, relatives, maybe getting unhealthy, and they say, you know, I don't want to be in that situation. They know they got to do something. They just don't know where to start. So I see kind of both, I guess.
What are the factors that determine you as a professional, what kind of program you will craft for somebody depending upon their age? I mean, the obvious things. I mean, older people are not going to do something a 20-year-old is going to do. But you have to take – not only do you have to take it as a professional seriously, but so does the client. The client has to know what they're capable of doing, right?
Right. Yeah, I think looking at that whole approach when someone comes in, their age level, like obviously if someone's you know, completely new and they're maybe a young athlete, they're 12 years old, I'm going to train them differently than someone that has years of experience and they're a former college athlete. And, you know, same thing with – we have a class that we do. We call it Boom Fit. It's for basically 60 and over. And, you know, people that come in that demographic are going to – I'm going to train them, you know, a little bit differently. The progressions are going to be – you know, a little bit more patient, and we're going to focus maybe a little bit more on balance work, flexibility for someone in that situation, whereas someone that's maybe new and they're young, we're going to work on maybe just the fundamentals of strength training right away, just because wherever I think I can give people the most benefit or the biggest bang for their buck every time they come in, that's where I'm going to focus the most and try to tailor it that way.
Do most of the people who come into gyms come to lose weight? Is that basically their first motive?
I'd say, yeah, majority of people to lose weight or just to look better, you know, look better and feel better too. I think more and more we are getting a lot of people too that just, I think with society, a lot of people are stressed. A lot of people just want to belong to something that makes them feel better too.
We're gonna get a little deeper into the notion of the mental health benefits of this, which are enormous, incidentally, down the road. But I do want to get some of the – I'm going to ask all the dumb questions here about, you know, going to the gym. Because as I told you before we went on the air, I've been doing it for a long, long time. And some periods of time I know I'm getting some benefit about it. I can see the way I feel and my clothes fit a little better. Other times I can go for a very long stretch of time and go – okay, I go 3 days a week, 4 days a week, but am I getting the bang for my time out of this thing? What kind of benchmarks do you establish for people so they can go, oh, this is working? Do you know, so that people can see that it's working?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think you do need some sort of goal. I think, you know, still going to the gym and just saying I'm just going to go for my own benefit just to get something out of it is good. But if you have a goal, just like if you're, I don't know, if you're driving in the car and if you don't have any direction on where you want to go, where, you know, you could just end up wherever. So you want to make sure you're – obviously, if you have a specific goal or clear directions on where you want to go, you're going to, you know, tailor your program or really work and do some sort of test and retest to make sure you're moving in the right direction. At our gym, we do we have an in-body machine so we can measure your body composition. So that's a really good way to...
What does the body composition mean? What does that mean?
Body composition, so basically how much fat you have on your body, your body fat percentage, how much muscle mass you have, and we can, you know, test that, retest that just to make sure you're moving in the right direction. If we need to make changes, then we can make changes to, you know, the nutrition end of it, how many times you're coming per week, things like that. We also do different strength tests or conditioning tests. So we might do, you know, a 5-rep max test in a certain lift. We also do what we call, I call it the V6 combine, where we test 6 different things. We'll test like a 2K row time. We'll test a mile run. And if those are too aggressive for somebody, we can always tailor back towards something that they can test in. We'll test you know, how many chin-ups can you do? How many times can you bench press a certain amount of weight? And it doesn't have to be a crazy weight thing, or and there's progressions for everything, but just having some way that you can measure if your program's actually working, and you can measure your progress, and then you can make changes from there. Because if it's not working, then you obviously want to get the most bang for your buck and make it a time efficient time in the gym, so you can obviously adjust it from there.
Our guest in the studio is Tyler Tretien. He is the owner operator of Vitality Athletics, a gym in the Ephrata area of Lancaster County. He's with us today. We're anticipating the new year, and we're taking a look at, you know, pulling it all together and try to be both healthy in body and mind. Tell me a little about your background. How long have you been doing this?
Yeah, I've been in the fitness field for, 14 years now. 2006, I graduated from Bloomsburg University in Pennsylvania, and my degree was in exercise science. And I got hooked into the weight room from sports. Played a lot of high school sports, football, basketball. I played football in college. And once I saw the results from lifting weights and how it helped me in sports, how it made me feel, you know, too confidence-wise, physique-wise, and everything like that, I got addicted, I guess, in a good way to the weight room. And then studied that in college. Exercise science was my background. And came out of it and started doing some personal training and some group fitness classes and also some strength and conditioning, working with athletes.
Mm-hmm. How long has Vitality Athletics been around?
We've been around for about 9 years, and we just rebranded to the name Vitality Athletics and made some changes with that over the last year.
So let's. I'm going to start. As I said, I'd ask all the dumb questions here today. So here's a couple right off the top of my head. In your view, which is the better method, machines or free weights? And by the way, what's the difference? You're lifting heavy stuff on either way. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I think machines versus free weights, I think it just depends on the person, what their goals are, their experience level, I think would play a big part in that. But the difference would be your free weights would be barbells, dumbbells, you know, things that can just move freely that you really have to control and have good form, where a machine would be something that you can sit down on, and maybe it's plate loaded where you just move the pin and you can do an exercise that way, and it doesn't take as much technique. So I think depending on the individual, I don't think machines are terrible. I think sometimes they get a bad rap, you know, from the functional fitness community. But if someone doesn't really have any experience and they're, you know, obviously they want to stay safe and they just want to work on putting some muscle mass on and keeping their muscle mass and joints stronger, than a machine can work, you know, decently well, and it's probably safer for someone that doesn't have that much experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going to do free weights, you definitely want to work with somebody or work with a coach at first, someone that knows what they're doing, to make sure that you have a, you know, good back position, that you're not going to hurt yourself. So I guess it just depends on the individual, and, you know, they both can be beneficial, I think.
Did I hear you right there and all of that, that with regard to free weights, technique is more important, that form is more important than on a machine?
Yes, yeah, I would say, but you can definitely do some things on machines too, and if you look at some of the memes and some of the videos you see out there, people can do some things wrong on machines too, but I'd say for the most part, I think you're definitely correct on that.
Well, I've seen some people who have set the speed on a treadmill a little too fast and found out about that. But no, I mean, I'm often confused about that. You know, I'm what you would call your older gym rat. And I found that I had to use the machines more because I was just certain. I wasn't working with anybody, so I knew I wasn't getting the form right. So I get a much better benefit with the machines. And when you go to these large, you know, gyms that we see now, the Planet Fitnesses and the LA things and all that stuff, they're loaded with machines. Mm-hmm. I mean, they are loaded. Do you find people expect that? Is there an expectation to be a lot of machines in a place? Or
yeah, I think if you go to a commercial gym, like a bigger gym like that, I think it's just easier for people that, because if they're not working with a coach or a trainer, and I think it's just easier for the staff. They don't have to worry, stress about someone doing something wrong. So I think the machine is easier for a lot of those style gyms. Our gym that we have, it's more of a functional training gym. So we have very little machines. We have some rowing machines. We have some air runner treadmills and things like that. But I have some cable, like pulley systems. But besides that, we pretty much do everything with barbells or dumbbells, body weight movements, slam balls, different things like that, just kettlebells, just because I think there is probably more benefit for people if they're doing free weights versus machines, if they have the proper technique and if someone helping them out with it. But yeah, I understand why a big commercial gym and why it makes sense for them to have a lot of machines. And I think, yeah, people probably want a ton of options and they don't want to wait. You know, our society, you don't want to wait too long. So I'm thinking that those gyms, they want to have a lot of options for people.
All right, so I'm going to give you this phrase, which has been around since, you know, the first dumbbell was invented. No pain, no gain. Does it have to hurt to go to the gym?
I think, again, that's going to depend on the individual, your goals. And I know I've personally made a lot of transition over the last couple of years. And we used to be a typical CrossFit affiliate where it did involve a lot of high-intensity style workouts. But, you know, you got to look at what are you trying to do long-term and what's the goal. If your goal is to compete in a sport or compete in CrossFit, then you probably are going to have to push yourself and take some sort of risk and be in a little bit of you know, I guess maybe their mental or physical pain sometimes. But I think for your everyday person, I think you want to think about longevity. And yeah, you're going to push yourself out of your comfort zone a little bit, but you're going to be training in a safe zone and picking movements that are safe for you to do. And that old kind of attitude of, yeah, no pain, no gain, and just, you know, keep put your head down, push through with it. I think that can be a detriment to some people. Yeah. And almost push you in the wrong direction and go away from the whole reason you got involved in fitness to begin with. So I think it just depends on what your goals are. If you're looking for fitness, longevity, if you're not a professional athlete, I don't think you need to be in a lot of pain. I think you can train smart and work with a trainer that is smart that can put you on the right path.
Cardio versus strength training. Is one more important than the other?
I think they're both important. I think it would... If you're training for something specific, say you're a power lifter or someone that's trying to really focus on strength, you're probably, there's still some benefit, obviously, for your health to do some cardio, but you're going to focus more on strength. If you're an endurance athlete, you're obviously going to do more aerobic, but there's still definitely some benefit to doing some strength training with those people, so you might bias one way or the other. For your everyday person, I think you need a combination of both, and I would actually, most of our workouts, we do probably about 20 to 30 minutes of good, solid strength work. And then we'll do, you know, 10 to 15 minutes of like interval style training on a lot of days. And then normally 2 days we'll do some longer cardio style workouts. And that's where I find people see the most benefit. But I think you definitely need the combination. You need the strength to the strength training to keep your, you know, your body composition, keep your muscle mass. And you need the cardio training to keep your heart healthy and a lot of those. You know, the health factor's healthy.
Keep the blood flowing. Tyler, yeah. Tredin is our guest from Vitality Athletics. We're talking about getting it together physically. You've been doing some work with the staff at Retreat, correct?
Yeah, last January we did a program, and we're going to start another program this January where we'll do 2 workouts a week for an hour, and we'll give them some nutrition guidelines, give them some homework to do on their off days, and yeah, that's coming up January 6th. We're starting that.
We're going to get into the nitty gritty of what Vitality Athletics their sort of program that they offer to people straight ahead. But before that, a couple of other garden variety issues. One is overcoming. There's some anxiety associated with going into a gym. You know. Am I going to be intimidated? Am I going to look like the weakling in here? What do you tell people? What should they expect when they walk through the door of a facility?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I can speak for our facility, but probably, yeah, every facility is different. And I give people a lot of respect every time they come in for the first time. And I try to make sure I'm there to greet them right away because it is tough. And it's something you definitely got to get out of your comfort zone. And it's can definitely be a little nerve wracking that first time coming in, but you know, I think just getting in there and obviously do some research and check out the facility before you go in there. But
just, you got to be in the right facility, right?
Yeah, I think be in the right facility. You know, look for someone that has some experience. Look for someone that has some good reviews and that has been in the fitness industry for a while. that has seen some good results with people too. So the majority of our people, I would say, come from referrals, you know, word of mouth referrals. So that normally makes people feel a little bit more comfortable. And I always tell people, just keep in mind, like when you come in there, like everybody has done that before. So everyone has started somewhere with it. And the majority of people feel the same way. And nobody's worried about what you're doing when you come in there. Everyone's focused on their workout and doing the right thing. And if you find the right community, it can be awesome to be supportive, just like a team, and have people that, you know, will cheer you on and push you in a positive way.
Well, how important is stretching?
Yeah, I think there's definitely got to be some sort of flexibility component for most people, especially as we age. You know, you're just going to lose your flexibility and lose your pliability in your joints, your muscles, and that. You're not going to be able to move as well. You're going to get stiffer. So I always joke around with our boomer class. I always say, if you don't use it, you lose it. So I try to make them, you know, really focus on hip flexibility, shoulder flexibility. And not that you need to do anything, I don't think, extreme with it, or have to be able to do the splits or anything wild, but you just need to be able to, you know, do a squat, do proper, you know, hinge at your hips and be able to hopefully touch your toes, be able to, you know, get full range of motion with your arms overhead. And I think that is huge. I think it's vital, because if you don't and you lose that, you're eventually going to run into joint issues, and it's really going to, you know, cause some problems long term.
You're going to wind up not going to the gym if it hurts when you do that. You tried to slip that word boomer in there. You didn't get it past me. So you do have a boomer program or boomer class?
Yeah, I call it Boom Fit, and we started that a couple years ago, and it's more geared towards 60 and over. And yeah, it's a great group. It's a really fun group to train. They're always a lot of fun. So we work balance. That's a big component of what we do too. Balance, flexibility, strength work, and conditioning. So try to get the whole everything improving at once is the whole like encompassing approach.
That's great, because the trend has been over the past 10, 15 years or so, maybe more recently, that these almost Navy SEAL like programs, CrossFit, I guess, being the most well known, but there are a whole bunch of those where it's clear, even from a cursory look at them, that, you know, you better be 25 years old and a triathlete to do these things. So it's encouraging to hear that there's, you know, that 60 plus group has somebody who's got their back. Before we move into V8, which I know is your program, you used to do CrossFitting, CrossFit training. Why did you readjust?
Yeah, I used to compete in CrossFit, and I came from a sports background, and I like competition, you know, and I like strength and conditioning. So those two kind of melted together, and CrossFit has become pretty popular over the last decade or so. But I think long term, especially as I got older too, I'm a little bit older, 35, so hopefully a little wiser. And through my experience of just doing this for 10 years or so, you know, you look at what's the end result, you know, longevity wise, and just doing more and going harder, you know, more is not always better.
Right.
And you got to do it safely. You got to do it effectively. And we're still doing a lot of functional fitness stuff. And I love what CrossFit has done in so many ways, and made strength and conditioning more popular for your everyday person. They've built an awesome community. But you just got to really look at, you know, some of the movements and think, you know, is this good long term?
Right.
Is this intensity good long term? And you just got to really work with a smart coach and take the things that are good from it, use that, and get rid of the things that aren't so good for it. Some of the movements and maybe some of the intensity that's pushed. You got to think about what your goals are and what's best for you long term.
Yeah, CrossFit is not for everyone. I mean, it looks great when you go to look at the little videos and you think, wow, look at that. But it is not for everyone. Let's talk about what you've structured, something at Vitality that you call V8, your V8 guidelines. What are they?
Yeah, the V8 guidelines, there are 8 different guidelines that I've come up with just from my experience. And I think if you follow them, I think I blast it out to our members pretty often. I think if you follow these guidelines, you're going to be successful in fitness. You're going to feel a lot better, and you'll never regret it, is what I always say. So,
take us through a couple of them.
Sure. So, and feel free to stop me if you want any
sure.
more explanation on them. But the first one, first guideline would be just making sure you work out at least 3 days a week. So, you know, and that doesn't necessarily have to be at a gym. Some people train at home. Some people train outdoors. I would recommend a combination of some type of resistance training, and that can even be body weight training. That can be, you know, basic squats, push-ups, planks, things like that. and doing cardiovascular training with it too.
Is it important to work out the same time of the day each of those 3 days, or does it matter?
I don't think it really matters too much with people. I think as long as you get it in, you're getting it in. So everyone's busy, so just get it in. So yeah, work out 3 days per week. That's number one. I always tell people, schedule it like a doctor's appointment. You schedule it like a doctor's appointment, you'll get it in. Number two is eat clean at least 80% of the time.
Clean?
Clean, yeah, clean. So clean, what I would describe as clean would be eating whole foods. So that'd be good protein sources, good carbohydrate sources, good fat sources. So, you know, like lean meats would be your good proteins. For fruits and vegetables for carbohydrate sources, you could do some type of whole grain or oatmeal or rice or sweet potato would be a good option for you too. Healthy fats would be, you'll get some from maybe your protein sources as well, but or especially if you're eating like fish, that's a great source of some healthy fats for you. Avocados, nuts and seeds, coconuts, things like that, olive oils would be really good fat sources for you. So 8 out of 10 meals, I'd really recommend trying to focus on whole foods. You know, if it came from the ground, if it's a natural food, something that spoils on a regular basis, it's probably going to be decent.
Good. Yeah, if it's wrapped in plastic, don't eat it. Keep going.
Yeah.
Give us a couple more.
Sure. So number three would be making sure you sleep at least 7 hours a night, I think is a good goal for people.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do your boomers tell you how much trouble they have getting 7 hours of sleep at night? I guess a workout can really help you get some better sleep, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think exercise definitely will help you get into a deeper sleep. You should be a little bit more tired, exhausted in a good way.
Yeah. It's a real problem as you get older, getting a good night's sleep. Continue, Tyler.
Yeah, number four would be to accumulate throughout the week 1 hour of flexibility or mobility training. So this would be something you could do, you know, 10, 15 minutes a day and add that up over six days out of the week.
This is stuff you can do at home.
Stuff you can do at home, yeah. And there's tons of resources. There's a couple apps I really like. You know, like one of the apps I really like is called GoWOD, GOWOD. GoWOD is a good app that you can use. And, you know, if you can just stretch consistently, do some sort of mobility work, 10 to 15 minutes. If you want a free resource, just get on YouTube and type in 5-minute mobility flow or 10-minute mobility work. And there's tons of resources out there, tons of free videos.
That's a great tip. That is, flexibility is so important. Continue with the V8 guidelines.
Sure. Number five would be drink half of your body weight in ounces of water per day.
You know, you and I could spend another 40 minutes with this one because that's a lot of water.
That is
a lot of water. What is the benefit of almost drowning yourself in water? No one's ever explained it. Are you flushing everything out? Is that what's going on?
That is part of it, but your energy levels are going to be much better. It's just a huge component to your body, and pretty much everything improves. You'll have less cravings, energy. You go to exercise, then you're going to feel better, more energized to work out. Obviously, you got to replace a lot of fluids that you lose throughout the day. But I think a lot of people are almost in a state of just chronic dehydration.
Really?
And they don't even realize it. So I just look at it as it's a simple way. I mean, water's, it's such a simple thing to do.
Comes out of the tap. How much did you say again? Half your body?
Half your body weight. So if you weigh, you know, 200 pounds, right, you're 100 ounces of water.
100 ounces of water in a day?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You know, again, like I said, we should have another hour for you and I to go round and round on that one. Oh, we've been speaking to Tyler Tretien. He is the owner, operator of Vitality Athletics. He's talking to us about getting ourselves in shape physically. He's summing up now a couple of points in the program his gym offers called the V8 guidelines. What's number six?
Yeah, number six is to listen or read something positive or motivational for 10 to 15 minutes every day.
Really? For instance?
It could be a podcast. Say you're driving to work. I know, like, for example, like, just I listen to a lot of fitness podcasts, but one guy I really like is Jeremy Scott Fitness. That's a simple one. So just listen to that. You know, there's so much. I think you can get bombarded with so much negativity if you're watching the news or anything going on that, or you just have stress going on in your life, that just taking 10 to 15 minutes and listen to something to realize how much you have going in your favor, how much positivity there is going. I think that can just do a lot for you.
Excellent point. What do you got, number seven?
Number seven is to make sure you do something fun or special. Plan it out at least one time a week. So, you know, same thing, like a lot of people are stressed out. And I think just having something to look forward to every week, whether it's get together with friends, maybe you're going to a special event, maybe some awesome movie came out, just something to look forward to. Put it on your schedule once a week that you're going to really look forward to.
That's a great point, because people don't appreciate the value of having even a tiny thing to look forward to. It's not so much what the event is, it's that it's in the future. And that's a very positive notion. There's something out there worth waiting for. That's a great point. What's number eight?
Number eight would be just to set a goal or some sort of game plan for your fitness or nutrition or you know, weight loss, or have some type of goal that you're working towards. So I think as long, just like if you have, you know, directions when you're driving, if you set up some sort of goal, you're going to be much more likely to attain that goal. So it could be as simple as just make it to the gym 3 days a week for this month, or, you know, eat clean 8 out of 10 meals, or, you know, be able to do one pull-up or run a certain time in a mile, but some sort of goal that you're working towards.
Vitality Athletics is the name of Tyler's gym, and that's his V8 guidelines. Eight great tips there. In the couple of minutes here we have left here, Tyler, you those last couple of bullet points on the guidelines were basically mental tips. It really wasn't about do this physically. It was about your mind in relationship to your body. You have had the occasion as a physical trainer to work with people who are in long-term recovery from substance abuse issues. There's plenty of data, as I said at the beginning, about the benefits of working out and your mood. We know how that works, right? What's going on in your brain when you work out?
Yeah, so when you work out, it's going to have a, you know, positive response in your brain. You're going to release some of those feel good, you know, dopamine, serotonin, some of these endorphins in your brain to really, you know, the same way that if you maybe would take something negative into your body and you feel, you know, kind of a high from it, you're going to get the same thing, kind of a fitness high. So, you know, when you're done working out, as much as it might suck to get there at first, or as much might suck at the time, you always feel great when you're done. And I think it can turn into, you know, kind of a good addiction that way, and yeah, really make you feel good.
Yeah. Well, we know that the pain associated with both your one's mental health, and if they're abusing substances as well, that pain, it needs to be dealt with. And the negative ways, of course, are in, you know, abusing substances. So when you talk about, it's an unfortunate phrase, when you talk about being addicted to fitness rather than, you know, alcohol, it's not the same kind of addiction. It's medicating oneself in a positive way rather than a negative way. I mean, there's a real physical benefit when your mind's right.
Right. Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And it just, you know, it's going to be good for you. You know, you're going to feel good when it's over. And I just, yeah, mentally, I know what it's done for me, and working with other people, and, you know, people that work out on a regular basis, people that strength train, like, it always helps them build their confidence. It helps them build their self-esteem. You know, rarely do you meet somebody that's in really good shape that lacks confidence or self-esteem. Like, it all goes hand in hand. And I think the body, the physical part, it plays a huge part.
Yeah, well, you know, I've never run into anybody that was any good at what you do who wasn't a positive kind of person, you know, personally. You could just tell that these were positive, forward-thinking kinds of people. That enthusiasm is what fuels trying to keep yourself together. Finally, just this, and I know maybe you're not the guy to ask here because you're in a different line, but with regard to people who just want to be active, there's a whole slew of things that be available out there, from the new these bar classes, or what's the other movement, Pilates, all of that stuff is beneficial on some level. Yoga.
Yeah, I mean, there's tons of stuff out there. It's almost information overload. There's almost too much out there. So where do you start? I can see that being very frustrating for a lot of people because it's just overwhelming. But I think, you know, talk to some people that you might know that have been successful with fitness, see who they go to, see who some good resources are, And then don't be afraid to eat. I think you just got to get out in there and try some different things too and see what works best for you. I think there's lots of great ways to get in shape. You just got to find the right one that works for you.
And it helps knowing what you want to accomplish at the other end. Tyler Chaitin, thanks so much. And we know you're going to be involved working in this area with some of Retreat's people. So we hope we can have you back on the program in the future.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us on Recovery Radio, brought to you by Retreat Behavioral Health. If you or a loved one is in need of help, their admissions office is available 24/7 at 855-859-8808. That's 855-859-8808.